Thank you, Lord, for your word. Teach us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. It says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, that the righteous man shall live by faith." So today we're going to talk about a couple of things. One is the righteousness of God, and also faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So without faith, it's impossible. And like it says, "For the righteousness of God," in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, "is revealed from faith to faith." The word righteousness, actually in the original, is the word dikaiosune, which means, without going with all the mood tenses, it means the perfect, righteous heart of God revealed. That's basically what it means. Righteousness and justice is the very foundation of His throne, and they make up His integrity, or what is called God's veracity. And so, in Psalms chapter 33, verse 4 and 5, it says, "For the word of the Lord is upright, and all of His work is done in faithfulness." See, God loves righteousness. He loves righteousness and justice. That's who God is. So to be able to understand the righteousness and love of God, we have to know His word. Bottom line. Otherwise, we don't know. That's why doctrine is so important. In Psalms chapter 97, verse 2, it says the same thing. "Righteousness and justice is the very foundation of His throne." See, there's no way to undo it. It's righteousness and justice. So that makes up His integrity. And Psalm 33, verse 4, speaks about His veracity. The honesty of God, that's the word we use. Okay? He does everything from divine viewpoint. God doesn't work in human viewpoint. Everything He does, He works in divine viewpoint. So, when we ask somebody, "Is He honest?" He says, "God, it doesn't even cross your mind to think that God is not honest." You know, His veracity, His righteousness, He's just. Mankind can never understand that, because we are not just. So we can't even cross paths with God, with a righteous God. There's no way we can even comprehend God's righteousness. It's impossible. We only get it through His word. Try to recognize who God is through His word. All the way from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation, we see God's righteousness. You see God's just. You see God's justice. You see what I'm saying? That's something that we see from beginning to end. God is just. He's holy, but He also demands justice. He's love, but He also demands justice. So He says, "The righteousness of God is revealed." The word "revealed" there is that word apokalypto, which the word means to reveal, to discover, to remove the cover, basically, you know, to disclose what has been covered. That's what we were talking earlier. We are so thankful as believers because we can see part of the apokalypto, the church, the mystery of God, who we are. We are living in time. We live in that time where God revealed it from the cross. We are partakers of that great revelation, that mystery of God. That was billions and billions of years ago placed, that will happen. It's a magnificent plan. His Son to die on that cross and His finished work. Millions of years ago, God says, "This is my perfect plan." The Old Testament, they had faith. But we're also going to see about the faith that they had, but actually is the Word of God. It's not just faith. It's faith on the Word of God. So, there's another word that is used, phanereo, which is different from apokalypto. In the English we don't see the difference, but in the Greek you see it. Phanereo means to manifest, to make visible. It is a manifestation of the external senses. The apokalypto is the internal manifestation. Phanereo is the external. So that's why the word is so important. It's the external manifestation of the perfect righteousness of God. That God has basically revealed to us, His Son. God will always help us discover that apokalypto. He will always help us discover who He is through His Word. Because we have His righteousness right now, because of the Son. So it always helps us discover that. Now, the immoral man, of course, is totally out of boundaries with the perfect Dikaiozune. He's out of boundaries. You see, he's always trying to find himself righteous before God. But the Word of God says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's no way. He can do all the Ten Commandments as he wants. But he's destined to the lake of fire, unfortunately. Because he will never be able to fulfill the Ten Commandments. Because God is holy. He'll never do it. Impossible. That's why Christ came. The religious men will not even dream to understand the righteousness of God. See, it's impossible. You know, he thinks he can be moral and try to do it. Now, that's why we got so much judging going around the churches these days. Because people fail to recognize the perfect righteousness of God. They don't understand it. They play games. See, God is holy. God is righteous. When people start playing games in churches, gossiping, maligning, they fail to realize the importance of Bible doctrine. Or the holiness of God, who God is. And basically, you know, they can be backstabbing, they can be maligning, whatever it is. They fail to recognize the holiness of God. And one day they're going to be face to face with their Creator. They're going to give an account. They're going to give an account. We're talking about the Book of Memories, you know. They're going to be an account of their thoughts, what they did, what they said. Yeah. Especially to pastors, people who are doing the work for the Lord, missionaries. There have been many, many missionaries, many pastors, many believers that have been persecuted, are being maligned for the sake of the gospel. But all those people think they're not going to come short. They are not going to pay the consequences. Yes, they will pay the consequences. The same thing for the believer. See, God cannot lie. God cannot lie. See, as believers, sometimes we can say a white lie. A lie, of course, thank God for 1 John 1:9 that we can confess it. But God cannot lie. That's the difference. When God says, I will chastise my children, God cannot lie. He has to chastise His children. Whom He loves, He also disciplines. So God has to discipline us. God cannot lie. You know what I'm saying? People think that they can live in immorality as a believer. God is going to chastise them. Because God cannot lie. You know, sometimes we think that, God didn't see that. God sees everything. And God will chastise His children because He loves them. But to think that we can get away with something from God, we're dreaming, you know. Because God will. He cannot lie. It's not in His nature to lie. When He says, I will bless Israel, He's going to bless Israel. He's going to bless the nations that love Israel, He's going to do that. When He says, I'm going to discipline the people that hate Israel, He's going to do that. Same thing with us. That's why we are so careful in James chapter 3, where it says, be careful not so not everybody is teaching, because there's double discipline. Because he's going to do that. We don't teach the right word of God, he's going to discipline us. Yeah, it's all about God. So, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Faith. So I got three quick points about faith. Faith is the right information, or it isn't faith. We're talking about faith. Faith is the right information, or it's not a living faith. See, the faith in God involves the right accuracy, precise, you know, no wavering, not unwavering information. Very specific. Very specific information. We will never have the proper faith unless we have the proper doctrine. That's why we can never get tired of saying having the proper doctrine. Having the proper doctrine. You know, categorical doctrine. What does it mean? And it's so difficult, it's a lot of work to really dig it out from the originals, to really understand the isagogies, you know, the exegesis of the word, you know. But as a pastor, you have to dig those things. Because you don't want to communicate the wrong doctrine to the people. Because if not, you're responsible. So it is definitely something that we have to be careful as teachers of the Word of God. So, we have to have the right information. Now, there are Christians, like I said, they're always murmuring, complaining, discouraged. We call them fainting Christians. Because, like we said before, they fail to go to the Scriptures and actually dig in to find out what the Word of God says. To hear the Word of God as it's proclaimed and really abide in it. They rather hear those quick sermons, and nothing really establishes in the frame of reference as a foundation. So when they actually go to a trial, a tribulation, when somebody is maligning against them, they have said, no, you know what, I believe in God. And that settles it. See, as believers, you have to be able to claim victory. Not even the devil can touch us unless God allows it. Not even the devil himself can touch us. He won't even come. He's more concentrating on the big guns of the world. But he has his demons can affect us. But in Christ, we should be able to claim victory. Knowing who God is, the righteousness of God. We are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. We have a ring of fire around us. We have His Word. We dig into His Word, learning. Guess what? We can tell the devil to take a hike. He doesn't have power on us. Death has been defeated. Christ is sitting in the heavenly thrones. The only thing He wants to do, He wants to have a hand combat with you. That's what He wants. Because He knows that way He can defeat you. But positionally, He can't defeat you. It is done. It is finished. So He will try to, okay, come on. You can do it. He wants to do a hand combat with you. Because as human beings, we're going to fail. But not us positionally in Christ. We can't fail. We can't fail. Okay, so we have point number two. Faith rest is a divine testimony. God is utterly, utterly trustworthy. When you say, I trust God, you have to really understand what that means. We say, do you trust a guy? You trust a woman? With God, it's utterly trust. You can trust Him. If God says, I will deliver you, He will deliver you. Just like we were talking about David. David prayed to God about his deliverance from his enemies. And God says, I will do that. He even killed David's son to deliver David, Absalom. Now think about that. Now you say, well, that's not fair. You know what? God is just. Righteousness and just. Holiness. It's veracity. We must understand what that means. God cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 14, 6 verse 18, it is impossible for God to lie. That's contrast to Romans chapter 3 verse 3 and 4. Every man is a liar. Every man is a liar. But God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. God is absolutely trustworthy. You can trust in Him. God is not a lying. It's not a lying God. Now, can God forgive? Of course. You know, we're going to sin, we're going to fail. You know, we can ask for forgiveness. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. We're going to sin. But also, we have a way of escape also. You know, He's going to forgive us. But don't underestimate the justice of God. If we continue to do it, and then we're playing games with God. See, God wants us to repent and that in the way that He designed it, to change your mind towards that sin. That's the word metanoia in the Greek. Because He doesn't want it to be a something that we continue to do, and we're thinking that we're just going to come week after week and confess it, like many churches do. And they're going to get saved every week because they fail God. He's not what He wants. He doesn't want a worldly sorrow. He wants a true repentance of what you do. You don't tell God, God, I won't do it again, because we're humans, we're going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Or try to get a better deal with God. God, if you get me out of here, you know? No. He wants us to change our minds towards the sin, not in worldly sorrows. Point three, I have faith is a supernatural gift. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Now, back to Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Now, this is a perfect passive indicative. Perfect means that this was decided billions of years ago. And we call that eternity past, but there's no past with God. You know, God is. But the reason why it has a permanent result to those who understand it, because of faith over the believer. See, God placed it in time, placed it in eternity past, to say. But in time, by faith, we receive it. Because what happens? We put a trust in God. He put the whole plan, just like He told Abraham. He told Abraham, leave your land. And God says, okay. I can see poor Abraham and Sarah. They're just going. They say, where are you going, Abraham? I don't know. God told me to go, and I'm going. And I see the little sheep behind. Bah. I said, where are you going? We don't know. But they're going. Because they trusted what? Did they have faith? See, faith without the Word of God is just faith. An unbeliever can have faith. But do you have faith in the Word of God? He has faith in the Word of God. That's what he had. Noah had faith in the Word of God. God says, Noah, build me a huge boat. Noah says, I don't see any water. You see what I'm saying? But he had faith in the Word of God that it's going to rain. See, people just talk about faith. But faith without the Word of God means nothing. You see what I'm saying? There's got to be a Word of God. There's got to be a plan of God. Which He placed billions of years ago. This is my plan. Do you believe it? I'm going to send my Son to die for you for all your sins. Do you believe in Him? Noah built the ark. A picture of who Christ is. A picture of salvation. Abraham, the seed of that salvation. The plan of God is amazing. And he tells Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And he has a son because of the word of God. Faith is not faith unless the word of God is in it. We believe the word of God. Because of that, we have faith. You know, some people want to go to the sink and they open that. By faith, they think there's going to be water there. You see what I'm saying? By faith, you go into your car when it's cold in the morning. You know that it's going to start. By faith, you're thinking that. But there's no word behind it. That can fail. The pipes will be frozen and no water will come out of it. But God's faith and word does not fail. That's the difference. God is accurate. It's precise. It's unwavering. He will never fail. That's faith. So that's the kind of faith that he's talking about here. The just shall live by faith. That's that word. It's not the word Zoe. It's not the word bios. That's the word Zao. Zao is the energetic life of God, which produces the inner thinking of what you have for information. That's the Zoe. The bios is the emotional physical exertion of application that you diligently exert in human strength. Now, the word here is the word, the Zao. It's in the future middle indicative. You shall participate in receiving it to receive the benefits of the right decision. It's the right decision of faith. And what we have to do is basically live in that indicative mood and full and thriving and abundant living. Zao doesn't leave us lifeless. It's full with life. And that's the faith that we have in Christ. With Zoe, basically, and bios, leave us basically out of life, but not in Zao. Zao is the abundant life in God that will never end. The just shall live by faith. And because of our faith, now we have abundant life. It all ties together with all the plans of God. Because of faith, Abraham believed. And because of that faith, he also going to live in eternal life. All ties together. Not the bios life. Not the Zoe life. But the Zao life. It is an endless life. So we're going to be in eternity forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The just shall live by faith. Every single person from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. The difference, we have the Word of God in us. They didn't. But they had the Word of God spoken to them through the prophets. And they believed it. And by faith they obeyed it. So, doctrine is extremely important for us. Even though we have it in the pages of Scripture right now, but by faith, just like Abraham did, we have to also believe it. And by faith, we receive it. And by faith, we also know that we're going to be seated in the heavenly thrones. Just picture yourself. By faith, you believe in Christ. You picture yourself nailed with Christ. You picture yourself taken into the tomb with Christ. Picture yourself being resurrected with Christ. Seated in the heavenly thrones with Christ. Looking at the God the Father. Just picture that. All by faith. And Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So by faith we did all those steps. And so by faith, we believe in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, you're going to be taken. In 1 Corinthians, the rapture. By faith we believe that, because His word tells us that. See, it has to be faith with His word. By faith we believe that we're going to come with Him in the millennium. By faith we believe that, and by faith we're going to live forever in eternal state, and ever and ever and ever. That's faith. That's faith. Faith with faith. That's what it means. Faith with faith. So we're going to be basically one day living with Christ in the eternal state, and by faith right now, through His word, we receive it. Amen.